Hallelujah. Good morning, Glory and Peace Church. Good morning to those in-house, online. Welcome here. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we just bless your name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Your name, all you do, you do mighty things, you do glorious things, you're a faithful God. All Oh, Face toward you and thousand generations in your family, in your children, in their children, in their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations. Father, we are thankful for another day. We are thankful for a new month, for a new day, a new now. Exalted Father, be exalted, O God, in our worship. We have come, O God, to meet with you. We've come, O God, to hear from you. We've come, O God, to be touched by you. Father, let your face shine upon us. Let your outstretched hand lift us up. Help of the helpless, help us. God, our Lord, our faith, our trust is in you. We know, Lord, that there are no impossibilities with you. We believe in you. We trust in you. We rely on you. You are the answer to every situation, the solution to every situation. There is nothing we can do in our own strength and our own ability. So, Lord, even the grace to trust is possible only because of your presence. So let your presence, O God, be with us, be within us. Your presence, O God, let it empower us. Your presence, Lord, let it cause us to experience life, life eternal. Blessed be your holy name. We receive the answers that we need for this day, for this now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to see you all. You may be seated as we continue in our time of worship and adoration and the hearing of God's eternal word. Worship team, thank you so very much. Amen. While Mama comes, I want us to be reminded that in exactly 2 weeks from now, we're going to be having a block party. And we want everyone to be engaged in it, to be involved. Not only in the giving towards it, but in your participation and ministry. Amen? We want to cast a big net, and we want to catch as many fish to the glory of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God.
Good day, everybody.
Good day.
Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad you made it this morning, and we had a good shower of rain and blessings. Praise the Lord. The grass, the flower, they all need that rain. So thank God for free watering. Praise the Lord. All right, the rest of you, stretch your hands towards the children as we pray. Father, we thank you for all our wonderful children, biological children, spiritual children, partners, extended families all over the world, from age 120 plus to zero form, those in seed forms, those in the womb, those walking the earth every decade of life. We lift them before you. We declare the rulership and that the hand of God will be upon every one of them. May God comfort and strengthen them. May they love God and do well in their work, those in school, those in career age, those in retirement age, those working, everyone. Touch every family. Those that are sick, remember them. Heal, restore, and make them whole. Heal their broken body. Your body was broken that theirs will not be broken. Let there be a perfect exchange today. Those that are discouraged, encourage them. Those that are just frustrated, let the joy of the Lord visit them. Give them that hope, that their trust to be in you, O Lord, that you are the answer and the solution to everything. We give you praise for answers, solutions, testimonies, victories upon victories, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Spirit of the living God, we welcome you into the service. Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit spirit of the fear of the Lord and all your spirit, which is your holy word. We receive you into our heart, into our church, our home, our city, our nation, and in this service. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to read from Deuteronomy 26. So we're getting close to when I will stop the reading. When I come up here, I just pray and pray the word, and the rest of you learn your word at home. Amen. Deuteronomy 6. Now these are the commandments. I'm reading from verse 1, there are 25 verses. Now these are the words. These are the commandments, or words, commandment, they come with words, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. This was given to children of Israel, and because we are in Christ Jesus, we have been grafted in, and this is for us. Amen. Verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes. How many should we keep? All his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, and thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. How many days of your life? All the days, till the day you become dust again. So some people believe now the Old Testament is no longer for them. If you are one of those people, you are deceived. So the 66 books of the Bible, they are all for us. Say amen. Somebody say, I'm not deceived. You cannot pick and choose like cherries. They are all, they say all the statutes, all the commandments, everything written. It says, see, know them, teach your children and your children's children. Amen. Verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers had promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. So I do this for my benefit, not for others, for my benefit. Say, I will receive the word of God for my benefit. So you're not doing anything for anybody, you're doing it for yourself. So if you don't want for yourself, don't take it. Somebody say, I will take it. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Say amen. All of it. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So it's not Sunday school at church that's supposed to be doing all the teaching for you. You teach your family the word of God at home. Say amen. Get them to take turns in reading the word. Encourage them to pray. All our little grandbabies, they can pray. Sometimes they fight. This one says, you pray, my turn. We did that with our children when they were coming up. Every day. Teach your children how to pray. So teach them the word of God so that that word remains in them. Word. So don't get stuck in church. Church is good, but know the word of God. Say amen. Say a big amen. All right, if you've not been doing it, it's not too late. You can start. Praise the Lord. And don't correct them when they pray at the beginning. Just listen. If they pray things you don't want, just kind of clean that out with your mouth by prayer. But when you do that at the beginning, then you're going to cause them to pull back. So let them be the innocent children they are. Amen. Verse 8, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be as and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. Now, if you travel El Al and you're going to Israel, that's an Israeli airline, you know, you will see these scriptures, they still practice it. You will see the scripture binding in the eyes, in the hands, and every time to pray, they get up and they pray, and it doesn't matter, you know, and so praise the Lord. So they say, forever till you die, do this. Now, we don't do that here in church. We just keep it in our heart, but there are people who still literally do that, and that's fine. Verse 8, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon what? Thine hand, and they shall be as frontless between thy eyes. If you go to any, almost every Jewish home, I don't know if everyone does it, you will see the mezuzah, the word of the Lord, is right on the doorpost of every house till today. Praise the Lord. All the properties we have bought, they have always been from a Jew, and all the houses always have that mezuzah. They're still there. How old they are, I don't know. So praise God. But anytime you go to Israel, you can still get those. You know, I'm sure you can get them here. With Amazon now, you can order anything, so I don't know. So praise the Lord. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house. See, that's what I'm saying, mezuzah. And all thy gates. The word of the Lord is in a little thing, and you put the word in the doorpost. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee what? Great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. We say, amen. We are still struggling to get houses, and God says he wants to give us cities. May God give us cities. And the ones you did not build, we're still struggling to pay mortgage. You're supposed to have house without mortgage. May God give us cities and houses and buildings according to your word, O Lord. Amen. And houses full of what? All good things which thou fillest not. Hallelujah. And wells digged, which thou diggest not. That means you have water. You're not paying water bill. Amen. Vineyards and olive trees. Hallelujah. Which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Amen and amen. I know about you, I'm saying amen to all this word of God. I receive it for me and my household. Verse 12. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. Speaking about that, the time is coming where even in the church, you know, where people are here worshiping God, but they are not really worshiping God. They are part of the world. The Lord showed me this. So may we be part of the remnant who really put our trust in the Lord. May you not choose the party. May you choose Jesus. In the midst of it all, pastors, leaders, deacons, deaconesses, whatever your title is, regular folks, congregation, believers out there hearing the sound of my voice, make a decision that your heart belongs to Jesus. Worship him and bless him. And don't become religious, but be a child of the Most High God. That time is here. May we turn to him. Say amen. Amen. I know it's time because I've seen some of us doing that. May we be free in Jesus' name. Say amen. Verse 14, you shall not go after other gods. Well, we don't serve idols here, but we serve things. Western world does not serve idols, they serve things. May we be free in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You shall not go after other gods. So idols are different in every nation and for every people. Even your own family can become your idol. May you be free and put God. Anything you put above God is an idol. May we be free. Say, Lord, help me. Help my family. Help my neighbor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, you need your neighbor also saved, because if you are enjoying the priests of God and they are not, they will be a trouble to you. So you want peace for your neighbor so you have an enjoyable street and neighborhood. Say amen. You won't be sleeping at 2, 3 a.m. in the night and then you're hearing boom, 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 you know, and that goes on every day. So you must pray for your neighbors. Don't complain about their children. Pray for them. Say amen. It's getting quiet again, this Presbyterian church this morning. I hope we are in an Holy Ghost church. Praise the Lord. Amen. I say pray for our neighbors. Yeah, pray for them, because they too, if you can hear that, then you can know what the parents inside are dealing with. So pray for your neighborhood. Pray for their children. Pray for their family. Say amen. Yes, I used to have one. Like, I used to have a few of them, but now I don't hear that. So amen. Hallelujah. Verse 14, you shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. That's what I saw. People are going after other gods. So I've told you the gods are not what you are thinking, little molded idol. Whatever are gods that are not the living God in your life, give it to him. 15, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from the face of the earth. Where that word is still working to today, may God be for you and not against you. Amen. You shall not tempt the Lord thy God. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massa. Say amen. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his, well, that was provocation against Moses and against everything. So do not provoke your leaders. That's that kind of temptation. Say amen. Verse 17, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he had commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Say amen. You don't do what is right in your own sight, because your judgment is not the judgment of God. Your sight is not his sight. You do things based on your viewpoint, but the viewpoint of the Lord. Say amen. So we do right. When it's not convenient, we still do it. When it's not sweet, we still do it. Say amen. That's a good prayer that will take you through this season that we are in and coming into. Verse 18, and thou shalt do that which is right. Do it at home. Do it with your family. Do it in your business. Do it in the grocery store. Do everything. You see somebody drop $100 when they are opening their wallet and it's grocery store on that day, and you go, oh, praise the Lord, God just blessed me with money. No, take that money, take it to customer service. Somebody say amen. It didn't bless you. Somebody, something dropped, and you're going to go home and cry. So take that thing to the manager. Amen. It's called lost and found. Now, if the manager decide to steal, that's their problem, but you're not carrying. You're not carrying that to your house and to your family. That's carrying a curse. Where God's supposed to bless you, you begin to have minus. May you not have minus. May you have addition, multiplication. Say amen. Fruitfulness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. somebody doesn't drop their earring in church, they're dancing and praise the Lord, and you find it's gold. Oh, this one will be good to be melted. I'll add it. No, take it to the usher's desk. The amen is only on this side. Amen. We're going to do that which is right. Not sometimes, always. Say amen. Say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what is right. Sometimes we will see something garbage as we are walking. Even in church, we just see it. Everybody just goes like this. I think Brother James and the rest will clean it. No, this is your church. You pick it up. Say amen. Amen. Somebody say, it's my church. I'll pick it up. Yes. You go to the bathroom, you see mess there. Don't wait for somebody to come clean it for you. Clean it. And keep it clean. Say, do that which is right. Somebody say, I will do that which is right. Say, a big amen. Amen. Yes, we're taking good stuff home today. All right, did we finish verse 18? It's 18 again. I'm almost done. Let me finish. And thou shalt, when I finish, I'm going to say amen. So that's more than enough. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. And it may be because God sees your thought before you do it, and when you are doing it, and when you have done it. He's seen all of it. So he said, do it right before him. Do it as if the Lord is right there. His eyeballs are on you. But his eyes are really on us. Say, let's please the Lord. And it may be well with thee, and thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy father. So for us to get those land, those cities, those houses, those good things, God said we must do it to please him, and he will please us. Amen. Pleasing us is giving us all the, doing his part. God always does his part. 19, to cast out all thine enemies, this so good, from before thee, as the Lord had spoken. Amen. May God cast out all my enemies and your enemies. Because you never know who your enemy is. They can really smile at you. They can even give you gifts. But their thoughts is, how can I kill this person? May God deliver you from such enemies. Say amen. Yes, you don't know who your enemy is. And most times they are within and very close. May you be free. Amen, from all enemies. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then, this is your answer. I say, then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. I thought Moses was the one that brought them out. No, the Lord. The hand of the Lord became the hand of Moses. Amen. The rod of the Lord became the rod of Moses. Say amen, the Lord. Anytime you have victory, don't say you did it. God did it. Say amen. Anytime you have a testimony, remove your eye and bless his holy name. God did it. And the Lord showed signs and wonders. If God has blessed any member of your family, you didn't do it. It's not because you raised them well. You hear people say, oh, your children are well raised. That's why they are blessed. No. God blessed them for a purpose, to do his will. And if that child forget that it's for God's will, it will be only for that moment. It will not be more than that particular season. It will not go to the next generation. May your blessing continue from generation to generation. It will fly away. May you not have a flyaway blessing. Say, the Lord did it. The Lord did it. May you pray and ask God, what did you do this for? What is this blessing for? May that be what moves you, not how you can show off, but how can God's name be glorified? Say amen. Lord, bless me to glorify your name. Verse 22, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household, before our eyes. So anytime there's a testimony, take it back to God's deliverance. 23, and he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers. So hallelujah. God will take you out and bring you back in when the place is cleaned up and ready for you. May God take you out of all problems and clean the place up and put you back to enjoy it. You and your household, me and my household, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good, always, not sometimes, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. Say amen. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he had commanded us. Say amen. Today you hear Christians, they go, oh, God is our righteousness. Yes, he is our righteousness, but he also commands you to do righteousness. Say amen. Put the balance. Don't say one part, say all of it. Say amen. Don't start acting crazy and say he's my righteousness. No. He said, do the right. Do the right. Somebody say, I will do the right. Do the right thing always. Let us rise. Father, we give you praise. We have read your word. This word we have read, let it not just fade away. Let it be tattooed in our heart, be carved in our heart, be engraved in our heart. And out of it, we begin to eat and live and begin to bless your holy name. Let there be a transformation and the righteousness of God, which you are talking about, doing the right thing, will work in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus is our righteousness. But you also commanded us to do the right thing. So since Jesus is our righteousness, we follow his pattern. We receive you into our heart, be the Lord and Master and the control master of our life, in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless everyone who have heard your word today. Bless every nation. Bless the nation of Israel. We speak peace to Jerusalem, peace within her walls and her palaces. Peace, 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 peace. And out of that shalom, let all nations be blessed. For out of Abraham, all nations shall be blessed. We bless Canada, Nigeria, United States of America. We bless Spain. We bless Italy. We bless France. And we bless all the nations of the earth where someone is calling the name of Jesus. We bless even Pakistan and Afghanistan. We bless those nations. Call them to you, O God. Save them. Heal, deliver, and restore them. Cause them to know you, Lord. Cause them to walk with you. You love all human. You love all people. They are your children. Call your children back to your table, that they will enjoy the feast of the Lord. Father, bless everyone here today, all our leaders, all the children of the Most High God, those that are sick, strengthen them and heal, restore, and make them whole. We already prayed for them, and we thank you that you are causing them to be healthy. The impossible has become possible. The incurable has become cured. Those that are sick with cancer, we send the word of God like a hammer to shatter and break and destroy that thing. We send the word of God like a laser beam to laser off. Sharper, your word sharper than any two-edged sword, to cut off all those cancerous cells. We send your word to heal, to restore and make them whole. Spirit, soul, and body, in the mighty name of Jesus. Encourage your people and those financial problems, the ministry, the church, the families, the anyone. Breakthrough upon breakthrough.
In Jesus' name.
In the mighty name of Jesus. You are the answer. When our fathers, Jacob, could not know how he can get an income, no matter what he did, it was hidden head against anything. Nothing was working. But the answer did not come from the earth. It came from you.
Father, give recipes of financial breakthrough. Recipes of financial breakthrough. Recipes of financial breakthrough. You did not manufacture something outside. You used what was around. Father, begin to show the breakthrough and the answers and solutions with what is around for all your children. Every one of us, in the mighty name of Jesus. The cows that were already there, the waters were there already, the trees were there. You just say, take this particular branch and put it in the water and let them drink from it. Father, everything was there. Father, the things that we need, the oil is always in the house. The tiny one was able to be multiplied. The flour was in the house. It was able to multiply. Everything is there. The water that became wine was in the house. Father, the solution is around. But open our eyes to see it. Open our eyes to see it. Open our eyes to see it. Download the information by your spirit. In a dream you showed. Show it, Lord. Show it, Lord. Show it, Lord. Show it, Lord, to your family. Prosper, glory, and peace on all this family. Prosper those who are hearing the sound of my voice today. Prosper the ministers. Prosper apostle. Prosper me. Prosper every one of you. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for testimonies. And we will not say, look what I did. We will say, look what God has done. We give him all the glory. Can you say, I will give him all the glory? Yes. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you can do all things. And you have called us to do all things. We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. We thank you. Thank you for the virtual crusade that is coming up. Tomorrow we speak your life. We speak your word. We speak all these things that we have already declared here today over the people. We thank you for testimonies, salvation upon salvation, healing upon healing, miracles upon miracles, testimonies upon testimonies, that the Lord, word of the Lord will go like a mighty wave of glory, bringing honor to your holy name. Glorify yourself and magnify yourself. Take all the honor and all the glory, and let the healing, deliverance, and wholeness and blessings be for your people. In Jesus' mighty name, bless the carrier of the word, the giver of the word, the receiver of the word, and those who run with the word. In Jesus' name we declare so done. Amen. God bless every one of us. Amen.
Thank you. Rise with me one more time. I want you to join me in just shouting amen 7 times to the prayer that we just heard presented before the Lord. Are you ready?
Yes.
1. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our amens resonated in the heavens. It's a point of agreement. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is good? Amen. Is that Bobby that I see over there? Awesome. Wow. Years, years, years. Well, bless you. Amen. This morning, I want to embark on a journey with you. The passage of scripture that I want to share from by the leading of the Spirit, it's found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter. and the 9th verse. Sometime in the 80s, there was a man of God, a great man of God, that spent much time expounding on this particular passage of Scripture. I've been trying to remember his last name, but I believe the first part of his name, his first name was Larry, Pastor Larry. He brought us an understanding, a revelation of this particular passage of Scripture in terms of the fact that it was not just a prayer to be prayed verbatim, but that it was an outline. And that when you follow this outline, line upon line, that you'll be able to pray for 1 hour. His concept was, tarry with God for 1 hour. How many of you remember this? Anybody? Okay, a few people. Well, that's not what I'm trying to accomplish today, how you can pray for 1 hour. But I do believe that as we expound on the word here, that we'll have a deeper understanding of what God is trying to say to us and how we can truly have answered prayers. We complicate things. We do. God is very specific and very clear. But we complicate things. I remember many years ago when I first came into the United States. That was my first country outside of my home country, Nigeria. I left Nigeria in July of 79. And the first place I arrived at was the city of San Diego. I left San Diego for Las Vegas. It was in Las Vegas that I knew that heat is not the same everywhere. I came from Africa, and I thought it was hot in Africa. And one day I stepped out of the house I was living in Nevada, came out. I don't think I walked 20 feet. I ran back. The heat from the sun was so, oh man, it was like pins and needles on my head. They're just 20 plus feet. I ran back. I said, what is that? If that is hell, I don't want to go for sure. My goodness, how can a place be this hot? I thought Africa was hot. No, go to Las Vegas now in July. You know what heat feels like. Well, from there I went to Fresno. There was a Bible college there because I wanted to find a way. I was invited to come to a conference and I wanted to stay in the U.S. So I found a school called God's Victorious Army in Fresno. I went there and school was over. It was July. Nobody there but a handful of people. And while I was there, I was spending much time praying, and this gentleman, I think he was from East Asia and Indian, says to me, listen, you pray too much. I said, what do you mean you pray too much? And he opened the Bible and showed me. He says, they pray repetitious prayers in vain, thinking that that's how God is going to hear them. I said, really? So you think my praying always is repetitious prayer and I'm praying in vain? He said, yes. So I corrected him in my nice African way that what I was doing was not that kind of prayer, but rather I was trying to spend time with God to hear from God what God had to say to me. Amen? It was then that I heard, this is not where you're supposed to be. Hey, leave. So I left and I went to San Jose. While I was, I don't know why I'm telling you all these stories, this one. While I was in San Diego, when I first arrived to the conference, conference was over. It was the last day, the last service had taken place, and I was just walking in the hallway in the reception area, and I saw a young lady and her friend, and said, where are you from? And I told them, and they went and they introduced me to their mother, who later on was going to be a mother to me, Ethel Harris. I've been thinking about her the last few weeks. Now and then I'll think about Ethel Harris. Anyway, she says to me, says, I'd like you to come visit me in San Jose. I said, me? Come visit you in San Jose? He said, yes, come. I'd love to have you in my home. I said, okay. I said, but I'm going to Las Vegas. He said, that's fine. Whenever it is you would like to come, you can come. So I go to Las Vegas, and the person who brought me with him was leaving and going back to Nigeria. I know nobody in the country. But somebody invited me. So I called Ethel Harris. I said, I'm in Las Vegas right now. Is that offer still okay for me to come? Come, son, come, come, come right away. So I flew and I went to San Jose, a street called Easy Street in San Jose. Easy Street. While I was there at Easy Street, I get a letter. The letter comes from my spiritual father, Papa Cerullo. He's having the first school of ministry. I did not leave an address. I did not leave anything with him. I don't know how he got my address of where I was, but I get a letter at Easy Street to come to the first school of ministry. Wow. Remember, I had gone to Fresno. Oh, I mixed up my story. I had gone to Fresno, and then from Fresno I called. And I come to San Jose, and there in San Jose I get the invitation to the first school of ministry. And I attended the first school of ministry, and the theme verse that Papa preached for six months, what must we do that we might do the works of God. For 6 months. 6 months. Every time the man comes, what? And he expounded on that word. I had some of the greatest ministers of God minister. But for that 6 months, would you believe it, that for 6 months, everything they taught me were restatements of something that God did in my life in 1976 when I was in a school called Nana College. While I was there in Nana College, for a whole month, God taught me the Bible. What had happened was, I don't know why I'm telling you all these stories this morning, but it's connected. I remember the Lord saying, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. And I wasn't listening. And one day, the Lord was fed up with me fooling around, busy doing all kinds of things. I wasn't doing anything bad. I was just busy for the Lord. Busy for the Lord. And what was I busy doing? Preaching about end times. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. I won't let anybody rest. Jesus is coming. And I'm preaching. I mean, he says, listen, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, what do you mean I don't know what I'm talking about? I'm preaching what Harleen say, and, you know, at that time, you know, the Great Planet Earth or whatever it is, the name of the book was out, and all these prophetic teachers in the 70s was the decade of prophecy, prophetic declarations about Jesus coming back. In fact, one of my... fellow ministers later on, you know, said, Jesus, don't come back until I get married. It was that serious. Jesus was coming now. Anyway, the Lord says, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, what do you mean I don't know what I'm talking about? He says, I don't want you preaching anything to anybody. Those people that you are quoting, they don't know what they're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. I don't want you preaching anything about end times until I finish teaching you. I stop for 2 days, and I get back on it again. And one day, I'm heading to my class, and I heard the voice of the Lord. Get back to your dorm right now. And lay on your bed. I said, I want to go to class. He says, I tell you what, if you take another step, you're going to be very sorry. So, I look up, I look down. What's going to happen? What is going to happen if I take another step? I lifted up my leg, crossed that imaginary line. My leg didn't touch ground on the other side. Pow! I am sick. I am so sick. I thought I was going to die. I struggled. I got back to the bed, laid down on the bed, shivering, vibrating. And the Holy Spirit says to me, how are you doing, Michael? What do you think? I screamed. What do you think? So I told you not to take another step. I zonked out, and there is a screen. God starts teaching me the Bible. Teaching me. teaching me. When it's time for me to go to class, I'll be okay. As soon as class was over, when it's time to go eat, I'm okay. As soon as I take the last bite, back to that bed for a whole month. A whole month, I went through this process. God was trying to inculcate into me a spiritual principle that what really matters is what God says. What really matters is what God says. You and I following the directions of God is what brings us to our good, successful, happy place. Please don't miss that point. Whether it was moving out of the God's Army Bible College in Fresno, whether it was this dear sister, Ethel Harris, the last moment, inviting me to come. To San Jose, or let me add one more. I came to that school of ministry. Everything that the Lord taught me was being confirmed by my teachers. Now it was the last day. 6 months are over. And you're supposed to go back to your home country to continue to do whatever it is that you've been taught. I knew going back to Nigeria was not what I was meant to do. So what am I going to do now? I can't stay in this country without papers. And on the last day, someone said the last day, the Lord brings a man that my spiritual father had not met until that day. His name was Edwin Cole. Edwin Cole came to see what Papa was doing and came to introduce himself. Papa decides that Edwin Cole was going to be the speaker for that night. And while I was sitting in the hall, in that auditorium, the Lord says, "See that man?" I said, "Yes." "That man will tell you where you're going to go to next." I said, "Really? That man's going to tell me where to go next?" Then it dawned on me, anytime speakers came, they whisked them out the back door. They never come to the audience. I said, "Maybe this will be an exception." But it was not an exception. They whisk him off. How am I going to talk to this guy? They whisk them off, they get into the car, and they drive them to their hotel or whatever. How am I going to meet this guy? God just told me a moment ago that this man has the key to where I'm going to go next from this place. How am I going to go there? So I'm sitting down there just discouraged. And I leave. I walk out. And who do I see in the hallway? Edwin Cole, greeting and talking to everybody. So I waited my turn. And I said to him, "The Lord spoke to me and said that you have the key to where I'm supposed to go to next." Remember, he just confirmed and blessed us, and now we're supposed to go to our home country. He dips his hand in his pocket and he brings out a card. He said, "I was just at the Southern California College just this afternoon and I met the president there. Take this card, go to Costa Mesa. Give him this card and tell him I sent you. That's all? Yeah. So I did. And I was admitted at Southern California College in Costa Mesa, in Orange County, in California. God was step by step directing. Now, remember I said I met two ladies, Ethel Harris. There was another lady. That was with her. Otella Mixon. She lived in San Bernardino. Costa Mesa is about an hour away from San Bernardino. I called her. I am in Costa Mesa. Come over, son, come over. So I went to San Bernardino. Every weekend I would drive to San Bernardino. I connected with her church. I ministered with her church, with a pastor there, doing everything that a pastor will do. Assisting week after week after week after week. God, in one shot, had taken care of my future, and I did not know it. You don't know what God is doing around you, do you? Our mind so many times so locked into this is how God is going to do this. Get your mind out of that and recognize that God has a billion, trillion, zillion ways to solve a problem that is beyond your natural mindset. He knows every detail. That's why we must be relaxed when we pray. Because it's not up to us to bring about the manifestation of the answer. But it's up to us to look at the author and the finisher of our faith. All you need to do is to look unto him. Because that's all Jesus, our Lord, did. In Matthew 6:9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. In this manner, pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, that's an interesting statement. Oh, Larry Lee, thank you. That's the name. Thank you. Pastor Larry Lee, he was the one that was expounding on this particular passage of Scripture so many years ago. Well, the Word of God says here, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Someone say hallowed. Say it again, hallowed. One more time, hallowed. The word is the word hagiadzo, which means holy, sacred. But the context of hallowed be thy name is this. Lord, your name is not going to act like every other name. You have a unique name. Amen? Your name is holy. You, What other names cannot do, your name will do. So God, hallow your name. Make your name so special, so exclusive, so amazing that it is clear there is nothing impossible to you. Hallow your name. I'm about to talk to you. Hallow your name. Hallow your name. Hallow your name. Let your name be so amazing that nothing can stand against it, because I'm about to talk to you. Your name is not going to be dragged through the mud. Hallelujah. Is somebody listening? Hallowed be thy name. Hallow your name. I'm not going to pray a prayer now, and it's not going to be answered because you couldn't do it. You couldn't solve it. There is not a thing that we're going to ask God to do when we pray according to His will that He cannot do. Amen? Hallelujah. I can have my own plans, my own desires, my own ideas, and I pray my own ideas, and God will say, we're not doing that. I went to God's Army Bible School, and God says, that's not where I want you. Go to San Jose. But what am I going to go do in San Jose? They're not going to give me a visa because I'm in San Jose. I've got to be connected to some school, something that I'm doing here, and I apply, I have admission, and whatever else, and even with that, it's going to be a battle. Because they might say, go back home and apply from your country. So I'll be stuck. But God said, go there. So that's where I went. I went there, and a place that I did not apply to go to sent a letter to me at an address that I did not know I was going to be at. Is somebody listening?
Yes.
I didn't even know that I was going to be at that address. But did God know? God knew. Now, in my natural mind, I think possibly that it is quite possible that just like Papa sends out letters to his partners, he had mentioned, you know, we're starting this school of ministry and we're going to raise up nationals that are going to go back to their country. And Mama Ethel might have said, I have a young man here, a national. Can you... Maybe that's how it happened. That would make sense to me. But whatever way it happened, that way or any other way, it is still based on God directing my path. Because if I had not met her, I would not be in that house and she would not write the letter. Is somebody listening? The Lord orders the steps. Orders your steps day by day. He'll show you where to go, who to meet, who to say something to. The other day I was trying to get into a particular office, a particular company, and you had to have an appointment and all this bureaucratic stuff. They won't let me in. But I could hand my letter through a security guard. But I sat in my car and I said, you know what, Lord? I need to know somebody that works with this company so I have an entrance. That was just it. The next day, someone said, the next day, I'm sitting across from somebody. And I asked the person, I said, what do you do? And he says, I work for such and such a company. I said, huh? It was the same company. So I told the person, I said, you know what? I may need whatever it is I wanted to go get there. I may not need it, but this is what is true. I asked God to have a contact person that works with that company, and here you are. I said, that's enough. That's enough for me to know God heard me, placed me with somebody kilometers away on the next day, and the person works in a different city for that company. Are you with me? But he's so high up, whatever information I need, he can supply me that information. I'll have access to know exactly who it is I need to contact in that company, because I Googled and Googled and Googled, and every name Google gave to me was the wrong name. Somebody listening? All the names Google gave to me, wrong name. Maybe they worked there before, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, pre-COVID. I don't know, but it was not the right name. It was not, that name was not working anymore in their directory. But now I know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, and I can get in when I want to. Hallelujah. So God answers prayers. Praise the Lord. Say it with me, God answers prayers. Hallelujah. And he will answer your prayer. But how does it happen? When we declare, hallowed be thy name, he then says, thy kingdom come, so that thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The so that is my addition, so that you can understand the context of what God is trying to communicate with us. We need to see into the kingdom realm of God. Amen? Thy kingdom come. Hallelujah. Thy what? Kingdom come. Say it with me. Thy kingdom come. One more time. Thy kingdom come. The word kingdom is the word basileia. It is used over and over again in the New Testament. It is not necessarily talking about a particular area, but more in terms of the authority of a king in a realm. Are you with me? The authority. And so he's saying, Lord, let your authority, your power, your reign, your influence come. The influence and authority that you have in heaven, let it come here into the earth realm, so that your will is done here in the earth as it is in heaven. For the word of God tells us that God will do nothing in the earth. Amos 3 and 7. God will do nothing except he first does what? Reveals his secrets to his servants who are the prophets. Amen? God will do nothing. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, said very clearly in John chapter 5, verse 19, he makes a statement to us in John 5, 19. He says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of what? Himself. I cannot do anything of myself, but what he what? Seeth. What he seeth the Father do. What I see the Father doing, that's what I mimic here to do. But what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he, the Father, doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." I am only doing what I see the Father doing. It says, "For the Father loveth the Son and sheweth him," shows his Son all things that himself doeth. "And he will show him greater works than this, that ye may," what? "Marvel." I see what the Father is doing, I do the same thing. This is how it gets done. That must tell me then that it is important, it is imperative that I know what God is doing. If I don't know what God is doing, nothing is going to happen. God does not arbitrarily just do things. Hello? He has, in a very measured way, submitted himself to that particular principle so that the devil cannot just go about doing whatever he wants to do any which way. Is somebody listening? Now, the devil operates by the same principle. If you want to know what the devil is trying to do in the natural, there is a group of people that will tell you what the enemy is trying to do. They are in a place, interestingly enough, called Hollywood. Hollywood. Do you know that place? Those are the people that do movies. Those people, believe me, know more than you think. If anything is happening in your big screen, small screen, whatever, and it is something funny, tell you what, they are seen into a realm and they are speaking that realm into this realm. Because the devil is still the god of this world. Hello?